Hello, you gorgeous gummies! Welcome back to another episode of The Venture Maidens. Before we dive in, I have to warn y'all that we had a bit of an audio snafu this recording. I've done the best I can to clean it up, but Sage's audio is a little rocky this episode. If you can't stand it, you can always check out the YouTube version of our recording, which sounds great, over on The Venture Maidens YouTube account. And speaking of YouTube, we recently just reached 1,000 subscribers over there, and we could definitely use your help to spread the good word of Venture Maidens. If you all threw us some subscribes and those little thumbs up on the videos, that would super help us out. Alright, so I'll give you the deets of what happened last episode, and then I'll play you a promo from another great show on Don't Split the Podcast Network, then we'll dive right into the good stuff. Last time on Venture Maidens, our heroes partied hardy at the 1001 Nights Inn before stumbling back on the road. It wasn't long before they were attacked by some cultists led by a real ugly bird person. They fought, causing the Vulture Man to teleport away, and then Arnadale got conference called by the Raven Queen and the Sisters of Sorrow. They told her that she had to leave the rest of the maidens for now and hunt down these 13 creeps before they could cause any more damage. So, our warlock said farewell for now, and our remaining maidens are left to assist Duchess Amalthea all on their own. And that's it. Talk to you all next time.
Hey, my name is James Intricasso, and I'm the host of Tabletop Babble, which is a role-playing game discussion podcast where I bring on awesome industry guests like Matthew Mercer, Ruth Tillman, Wolfgang Bauer, Cat Cool, and so many others. We talk RPG news, give advice, laugh, argue. It is a fun time, just like you'd have at a convention or local-friendly game store. Check out Tabletop Babble at DontSplitThePodcastNetwork.com.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Our maidens down one of their own head to Caer Leona to aid Duchess Amalthea. What task does the Crone Mother have for our heroes? Who is this new companion the sisters have promised? What secrets lie buried beneath the ancient fortress? Find out in episode 56, Castaway.
Welcome! Oh my gosh! Oh, I am so excited to be here. Let me just make sure that everything is all set and ready. That everybody, can you hear us? How do we sound out there?
Ooh, sexy, I hope.
Ooh, I hope we... yup. Definitely sexy. That's what we're going for. Hi, everybody. Oh my gosh. Welcome. I am really excited for this game. As you might have noticed, we have a new face joining us today. Hey, Katie, say hi to the people.
Hello, everybody.
Mm-hmm. So that's what Katie's voice sounds like. Get used to it. As we said last time, you know, Brittany is now away on her tattoo tour of the U.S. And if you want to hear more about that, of course, check out all of her social media. She's posting like all the stops she's going to. And I think she still is booking some appointments. So she's out there in the wide world living her truth. So while she's doing that, Katie so graciously decided to come on and be a guest player with us. I usually play with Katie over on the Nerd Immersion channel on Mondays, so we've played a lot of D&D together, and she's really special and awesome, so yay! So everybody be super nice to Katie, or I'll cut you.
Oh, shit. Watch out, y'all!
On that note, hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Venture Maidens podcast. My name is Celeste Konowich, and I'm going to be your Dungeon Master. And then Nassim, it's you.
Oh, yeah. I go first now. This is so weird. I'm Nassim. I'm playing your human monk, Sayonur.
Okay, it's me. I'm Sage. I play your barbarian who is hopefully going to cut things, Cara Brunhilde.
I'm Katie. I'm going to be playing Farrah Villain. I'm going to be playing a tiefling sorcerer.
Yeah, so that's where we're picking up. It's the morning time. So Arnadale and Aaron have already left. You know, they packed their supplies and are off to slay these 13 creatures. And until that's done, Arnadel shall not be returning. So, Kara, Sawyer, you are back now with, of course, so Kristoff, Gidget's there, everybody's there, and you're all back again at Finn's estate. And as you kind of begin to wake up and assemble, you see that everybody is already up around that big breakfast table that you see people at. And Butterscotch is sitting right on top of the table, and Isolde and her seem to be just staring at each other. you are walking into this room. Kristoff is sitting there also looking at Butterscotch. And then Isolde notices that both of you walk in and,
I imagine Butterscotch is on the table doing the cat licking, like, licking.
Yeah, her leg is, like, licking her skyward.
Well, it's, like, in the middle of the table licking her butt. Like, and they're just all staring at her, like, what did you do?
Like, what? Yeah, and Isolde turns to both of you and is like, so, this new companion.
Yeah, Kara looks like her regular self since she's back at Finn's estate, and so I don't have to talk like a gentleman anymore. sacrifices were made.
I see. Well, I suppose if you are willing to vouch for her, and Butterscotch is like, well, don't talk about me like I'm not here. And then immediately goes back to, and Kristoff just gives you both a look.
Yeah, Kara like looks over to him and shrugs. It's just like, I yeah, we can tell you the whole story if you'd like.
I suppose a message came from you, by the way, we assume from Rowan. He sends his gratitude.
Oh, fantastic. Oh my god, you wouldn't believe it. His wife? Her name was also in the Book of the Yugoloth. We got so much dirt on her.
Isolde definitely leans forward at this. She's like, Deirdre?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, her name was in Yugoloth. I know her husband was gonna sacrifice, like, their firstborn kid or some shit. I wonder what Deirdre's deal is. Oh my god, I can't wait to, like, throw this in her stupid noble face.
Interesting. We can use this. And she looks over and now looks away from Butterscotch, and everybody just seems to accept this purple cat now on the table. And Kristoff chimes in, well, we may be able to use that to our advantage, but we can explore that further. But the next step here, we decided it was going to see Amalthea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wait. Kara, are you Kara again and not Carl?
Yes. Yeah, since we're back at Finn's estate, she is her regular self. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Gidget no longer looks like Kara either. So everybody's their regular beautiful selves sitting around this table.
Mm-hmm. Saya's happy to see you back, but then she's also like, well, some eye candy for a while.
while we're out in public, I'll look like Carl. One can't be too careful.
And Kristoff is, do you need anything before heading out? Or we should probably, we'll get a move on these as fast as we can.
Well, I assume have been updated about our status as the Venture Maidens with Arnie gone. And we heard that we were supposed to be joined by a new member. Do you know who that's going to be?
Isolde looks frustrated, and then she looks at all of you. Yes, the sisters are sending another person, an agent of some kind, but I have no clarification as to when that is supposed to take place. I don't have a name, or we just all have to have faith. And she, like, folds her hands in front of her on the table.
Yeah, I gave that up a long time ago.
Hopefully, while you're at Caerleona, it is a fortress of sorts, and Amalthea is a powerful magic user. It's a place of wonder and strength, so you should be safe there, even if it is just the two of you.
All right.
Hopefully Amalthea doesn't need anything too dangerous done. We really have no intel on what you'll be facing when you arrive.
Well, then, yeah, I agree. The sooner the better. We still have a lot of things to do after this, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't got anything else to do. I guess we might as well head out. Whatever.
Yeah, so did you guys need anything in terms of supplies or anything else you want to do before heading off to Caer Leona? Which, again, is going to be, like, a 4 or 5 hour trip.
What? Are brass knuckles a thing? Here,
sure.
In this world?
You want some brass knuckles?
Would it still count as an unarmed strike if I used brass knuckles? No.
No. You're strapping brass onto and hitting humans with it. No. Your fists are okay. Already super furious.
Then I don't want anything.
Okay. All right.
One day, just for fun, just for the fashion of it, she'll get some.
Mm-hmm. That's hilarious.
Okay. Kristoff has a few pairs. You can take a look at. What do you want your brass knuckles to look like?
Oh, man. They'll probably have like little flames coming out of them. So they almost like little blades.
Jesus. But. I love it. Yeah, Kristoff has those. Weird.
Oh my god. Perfect for me. Thanks, man.
Anyhow. All right. So the wagon is totally destroyed from last time, but you do have this black carriage that you got from the Nagpa attack. Are we taking that carriage?
Might as well.
Mm-hmm. I like it. It's hot. Let's roll in that black carriage.
Yeah, and this poor horse that's been carting you around was like, just terrified by this like fireball and just had a rough night. You have like this kind of gray dappled mare who's been pulling you all around.
I call her Cheerio.
Oh, okay. So you saddle up, you hook Cheerio up to the old wagon, put him back on your Carl disguise.
Yep, Ezra, yes, we're packing up the wagon. Yeah, put on the face of Carl.
Circlet. Long time no see there, Carl. Hard pat on the back.
Yes, it has been a minute.
Indeed. And so with that, you hit the road. So again, like last time, you're leaving pretty early in the morning. And the day goes by peacefully. You pass a lot of other travelers on the road, farmers moving to and fro from town. But this time, instead of going like directly... Hang on, let me look at the map.
Nice.
Right. So you're going west from Chasiana, and then you're also going south, because Caer Leona mm-hmm. is this little pocket down here. So it's an islet, I think is the word. Oh, or it's yeah. So it's like an island, except it's connected by a very thin strip of land. And that's where Caer Leona, or the castle that Amalthea runs, is situated. So you are heading now, you turn south, and the sea breeze begins to fill your noses as you're getting closer and closer towards the ocean. The day is very warm, but pleasant now with those cool breezes coming in that you weren't quite getting off on the mainland. Opens up. You suddenly like crest over, and it's like very Mediterranean. So imagine mm-hmm. it's like greenish blue and just these beautiful, wide open, glittering expanse in front of you.
Kara discovers a new phobia, because not only was heights bad enough, but now she's afraid of, like, oh my god, I'm gonna die in that. That's not where I belong. Don't ask me to go swimming. She doesn't know how to swim. Absolutely not.
I can teach you.
My pitiful swimming in the sewer of where I fought that zombie crocodile. Oh my god.
Yeah, Kara hasn't had great experiences with water. So, thus far. What does Saye think?
Oh yeah, I love it. It's just as it is my preferred environment, it's Saye's preferred environment. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So you're in heaven as your carriage continues along. And you do see that people who pass you on the road definitely eye the carriage up and down. Like, it's a very nice carriage. Definitely with all these strange arcane runes on it. So people are paying attention to you as you're moving through this area.
Man, I wish Arnie was there. She can maybe tell me what all this shit on the side of the carriage means.
Maybe it's telling a story.
Oh, that would be.
Probably not though. That doesn't make sense.
Just the wheels on the bus. So
the wheels on the carriage.
The lyrics.
I'll ask the cat when we get back. She's like magic and shit. She probably knows.
Yeah, so you left Butterscotch behind to deal with Isolde and Kristoff. So as you do continue your way towards the coast, eventually you do see Caer Leona off in the distance. And Cara Leona is a large castle. You just see these like gray towers just stretching up on this small little island out in front of you. And you do see like, yeah, this land bridge you're going to have to go across. It's just a single lane road moving towards this large encompassed. I mean, it's a fortress. So it used to be a naval fortress. So it's pretty impressive as you get closer and closer. And you're not passing anyone on the road now. Not a lot of people going in and out of Cara Leona. So you do, you make it through that thin strip. And Kara, you probably get really nervous as the water is literally lapping up onto both sides of this passageway as you're making your way towards this huge castle looming overhead. And you see that there is a full drawbridge and everything that's currently in the up position. And you pull up to this castle. And you hear a voice from up above. Oi! What's your business? And you see a head just sticking out of this window that's probably about 16 feet up off the ground.
to seek the grail. No, I'm just...
What?
I'm kidding. It's a puppet show. No, we're here to see. And she whispers down to Sai. Wait, I just remember her as the crone mother. What was her name again?
Lady Amalthea.
Oh, Lady Amalthea.
Amalthea?
Yeah.
We're here at her request.
All right. Wait there. I'll be right back. And you wait. About 5 minutes go by. About 10 minutes go by.
Dang, what the hell? This is rude.
And then eventually you hear, "Oi!" And it's coming from the other tower on the other side. And the voice is, "All right, you're good. Just back up the carriage."
Right back.
You back it up.
Took them long enough.
Yeah. And then you begin to hear this crinking sound of like ancient wood of this drawbridge is coming down in front of you. And so you back up, and then fully now you can see the courtyard of this large castle there. And it is beautiful. You just see before you well manicured gardens, so just fruit trees of all different kinds and little stone pathways. And there are people meandering about the grounds here. They're wearing these very white, simple shifts and robes. It's just the peace of the scene kind of hits you immediately. And as you begin to move that carriage in, people turn towards you definitely with notice. And you can stop the carriage there. And then you hear, and then coming down from this tower steps, you see now the person who's been speaking to you is about this like 30-ish woman. She's kind of squat, pretty out of shape from her like bright red cheeks as she's like dressed again in this white shift. She's like, "Oh, okay, you can just park that there and go in to see Amalthea. Okay, I got this." And she looks at the horse.
all right then. Which way do we go?
Just the main doors. Yep.
Very well then.
Sorry, I'm Sister Evelyn.
A pleasure to meet you.
Oh, Sister Evelyn, I'm Saya, and I put my hands on her shoulders and I say, 3 big, deep breaths, 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. You'll be good.
Yes. She's fanning herself. Amalthea, she's up in her study. So if you go up the first 2 main flights, the wing on the left. Sorry, we're a little understaffed at the moment. But please, she's expecting you. Make your way right in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And she like starts tugging on the bridle of Cheerio and leading them presumably off towards stables that you can't maybe see from the main block of the building. So as you do turn your attention there, there are these huge sets of like wooden, they look like mahogany double doors that have been carved with vines and just this really beautiful craftsmanship and motif.
I imagine it looks like House Tyrell, like their mm-hmm. their castle.
Oh, definitely. Well, that's kind of the vibe you're getting for this whole, like, region of Chasiana. It's, again, it's just this summery, lovely place full of crops and floral life.
Neat. Mm-hmm. All right, yes. March on up to her study and knock on the door if it is closed.
Yeah, so you go ahead and up to the set of main double doors, and you can just pull them open there. And you see that there's the large reception room of this castle. Again, there are a few people walking about. There's not a ton of people that you've seen so far. So for such a large castle, you've seen maybe like 20 people that were casually walking about the yard. And maybe somebody passes by again in one of these white robes. We'll just like kind of wave acknowledgement, give you a pleasant smile as you pass through this reception room. This room itself is clean, but very sparsely decorated. So they have a couple like tables and chairs, but simply not enough to fill this grand space. But then you do see right across from you this big set of staircases that leads up to the second floor of the castle.
Up to the second floor.
Hmm? And you go and you keep walking, and now you're passing by your more traditional castle fare. You're like, oh, there are the suits of armor on either side. And again, there are all these banners that some of the symbols you recognized from, like, the parties you've been to before for the Ferellans in their house. They had a bunch of these symbols. And you finally make your way up to the second floor, turn left as directed, and you open up into this much sunnier kind of wing of the castle. You see that there are a bunch of these doors that have just been flung open. They look like larger suites, sort of office type things. And right now, all of the windows are open. So the same that sea salt is coming in and directing through the windows, and you see the fluttering of curtains all along this part of the castle. It's absolutely beautiful. And one of these places is open, and you see that inside there is a neat desk that has a bunch of bookcases surrounding it. You recognize immediately Amalthea is sitting on one side of this desk here. And then there is somebody else sitting in the chair immediately across from Amalthea. And Katie, could you please describe what you look like?
Sure. So she's a very lanky woman, very string bean. She's about 6 feet tall, very tan skin, straight then curved back goat horns, like shockingly teal wavy bob, and like eyes like Madame Hooch, like very cat-like from Harry Potter. And she's got like a tail that's just like aimlessly whipping around, and she's just dressed very comfortably in waist-high breeches, tall boots, and a loose jacket and tunic.
You see Salye sees Carl's mouth visibly drop.
She looks over and looks you up and down.
And then Amalthea smiles at both of you as you step in. And, Salye, it is good to see you. I thought perhaps you had forgotten about our little arrangement. But welcome. Welcome to Caerleona. This is Farah. Farah, this is Salye. And I'm sorry, young man. I don't believe I've had the pleasure.
Oh, my name... Wait, what are we calling me again? He looks at Salye.
This is my good friend Carl. We've traveled together and done a lot of missions covering each other's back, so he's a real big help for whatever you need us for. And it's a pleasure to meet you, Farah.
And I reach over and extend my hand out to Amalthea to shake hers.
Mm-hmm. And she extends her hand out to you.
Yeah.
Like for a kiss. Yeah. She's not going to shake your hand.
Okay. Yeah. We're like, oh yeah. All right. Yes. And lean in to kiss.
Charming fellow. New travel with. Anyhow, I'm glad you've come. And she stands up from her desk, and you go, everybody go ahead and give me a perception check.
Oh boy. Natural 20. What?
Wow. All right. Well, starting that off in a sage fashion.
Nine.
10.
Okay. Carl is going to be the only one who sees this. As Amalthea goes to stand, you see one of her legs definitely like buckles, and she kind of falls a little bit, but manages to straighten herself, like pained, as she stands up from this desk.
My dear lady, are you all right? And I extend out like my arm to her so for her to like grab onto.
Mm. Oh, how lovely, dear. It's just sometimes the sea air, these these old bones, you know. And she walks over towards, like, one of the open windows here. And now since you're on the second level, you can see over the wall that surrounds this castle. And just on all sides, there's just this glittering blue water. It's absolutely stunning from this perspective. And she looks out over the ocean and then turns back towards all of you. Like I said, it's good you've come. I am in a need of some assistance. And I was thinking, Farah, perhaps what you've been learning here, well, it seems like providence that you've come at this time. Hopefully all of you can help me with this problem I'm facing. Would one of you please close the door?
Oh, yeah. I'll close it.
And she does. And she makes, like, some kind of warding gesture as well. And you see, like, this blue light flare up over the door and the windows momentarily. And she sort of slumps against the wall. And you see now, and Farah, this is something you have not seen directly from her. She looks so tired as she just sags against this wall. Amalthea has never been a weak woman. She's always been a firecracker. And she just looks awful. Farah, what have you been doing today before this point?
She's been going through a bunch of books on healing and, like, half reading, half daydreaming. Probably came up to talk to Amalthea just to pass time, because she's just been there trying to study healing magic, but not really a studying type.
Yeah, I think you had received a note from Amalthea, like, in the middle of the day, and it had been, you know, just like, come up and have some tea, which had been totally a great excuse to get your nose out of all the dusty books. Yeah, like, thank you. So she had told you to come, and you've been waiting here for about 20 minutes, and Amalthea has assured you that something was going to happen soon. And now that she has all of you there, as of late, I have found my skills challenged by something very specific. I am a healer. Care Leona is a place for the sick. I have always prided myself on being able to cure any ailment, anything that can trouble a being. But I'm afraid that is just not so any longer. There is a creature that I found that needed my assistance, and I have been unable to help it. Underneath this castle, there are catacombs. We keep them sealed off, of course, now. They're unsafe, and we haven't fully explored everything that's down there. But I, against my better judgment, have been concealing this creature down there. I hoped that I could help it. I could restore some semblance of its previous sanity, but... And she looks down, like, at her hands that look shriveled and fragile. I fear if I stay connected to this creature any longer, it will kill me.
And what manner of creature is this?
It calls itself Adriel. And it is, it is an angel.
I'm sorry, what?
I assume it was sent to me by the mother. It found its way here to me, and it was angry and broken, and I thought I could help it. But I have failed, and it has slipped my grasp, so it is somewhere wandering down below. You must find it and either convince it to leave, or take a more permanent solution.
I am not a religious person, but I feel like there is some bad energy that comes from slaying an angel.
Indeed. This whole situation is not ideal by any means. But this creature, I don't know what caused it to fall, but it has fallen. And despite my best efforts, everything I could do, all of my spellcasting, my knowledge, I have not been able to heal this creature, repair what was done to it. I fear it is beyond any mortal skill.
Well, how are you connected to it? If we were to hurt it, wouldn't that hurt you?
No, I've bonded our life energies together in an attempt to stabilize it, I suppose. As it lives, it draws strength from me. That connection needs to be severed.
I see. Am it merely going away, flying away somewhere else will do this?
Perhaps.
Well, all right then.
Did it say anything to you at all about what happened to it? Nothing?
It has not been... They have not told me much. They have not been able to tell me much. I fear its sanity is irreparably damaged.
Who is this mother that you mentioned? I don't know a mother.
The mother? The goddess who watches over us all and created the Eladrin people.
Oh, right.
Do you think some reconnecting spiritually with them or her or whomever would get some help? Reach out to her and tell her that her angel has fallen?
That is what I have tried to do, child. I have spent my life in contemplation and service to the mother. This place, I built it, I reimagined it in her honor. If there's anyone who could have reforged that bond, it would have been me. But perhaps I was wrong in assuming that she sent it. Perhaps she drove it away. Hmm. And it made its way here.
Hmm. Interesting. And Farah, are you an expert on angels? Is that why you are to accompany us?
I mean, kind of in a way. My grandpa was a Deva.
Oh.
My mom's an Azimar, so feels a little weird to go on an angel hunt, but it's better than reading, so I'm down.
Farah is touched by divinity in many ways. I think she will be a valuable asset to helping you, and perhaps a counselor of how to navigate this situation the best we can.
Seems good to me.
Well, anything else we should know?
Any advice on how to take down an angel?
I do not pretend to have ever done that. I do know this creature is exceptionally powerful. The reason I ask you all here, well, your reputation precedes you. The Sisters of Sorrow are hired to get things done, are they not?
Yes, I suppose so. Are they immune to any sort of effects, would you know, either of you?
I cannot say.
I wouldn't try using any radiant energy, personally.
I do not have to worry about
that. Makes sense.
The first problem, of course, will be finding this creature. I kept it on the first level down below, but of course it no longer is there. I fear it may have gone deeper into even the unexplored part of these catacombs. I can, of course, give you a key to that area down there, but nobody goes down there. It's an unpleasant place.
In what way? Other than dark
and
creepy.
Are there other things? Yeah, are there other things down there besides the angel?
I dare say, in a place that you have built to be for healing, that seems rather ominous.
I gotta agree with them, and I don't even know them.
And she smiles and, like, looks back out at the ocean. I did not build this place. I found it as it was standing. I restored it, the upper levels, and I made it a place of healing. I put it into service. Whoever built this castle, and for whatever purpose, I think it has worn many faces in its past.
Hmm. Interesting.
Let's finish this basement.
Can I roll a knowledge on the angel? On that whole thing, that whole
sure.
Shtick.
Nature or religion or
religion.
Yep.
This was Strahd's castle. We're really in Strahd's castle. Oh my god.
Oh no, it's Ravenloft. Crap.
Hell yeah, that was a 27.
Oh, whoa. Okay. All right. So, angels. There are a lot of different types of angels that are employed by the gods to do a lot of different things. So you have angels that are more specifically like angels of retribution that are all about punishment and like amazing fighters. You have angels of inspiration that sometimes can, you know, touch down and like inspire great songs or bards, or you have healing angels. Basically, the mythos just keeps increasing of looking at every different perspective and religion, but angels are incredibly powerful beings that work for the gods to accomplish their material gains. So if you are squaring up with an angel, it really matters what type it is, though she doesn't seem to understand the distinctions.
Said his name was Audriel?
Mm-hmm. You do know that there are, of course, legends of angels that fall. So if angels, for some reason, they piss off the gods they work for or no longer serve their purposes, the gods will sever connections to these angels, which leaves them in despair, since they were created always for a purpose, for a very specific purpose. And so when they no longer fulfill that purpose, bad things can happen.
I see.
To these creatures, to their sanity, perhaps. Angels are extremely rare. It's not like they're just walking around all the time. So Asimars are the closest thing you would get. They're like angel touched, or they come from like a background of divinity. But yeah, this is not a great situation if you're going to be squaring up with one of these things.
So I pretty much relay that to both of you. Not that I'm assuming you don't know Farah, but just sharing what I know about angels. And so, you know, typically I wouldn't feel great about harming something that, you know, comes from a god. But it's if it can't fulfill its purpose, asking it to leave would do damage to someone else somewhere else. I think the only option is to hunt it down.
I have no qualms.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a shame to kill such a being, but if it comes to, then it comes to.
And Amalthea nods sadly, and she again, I tried everything for months. It has eaten my life away, my resources away. I wouldn't ask this unless it was the only way. You have to understand that. And she reaches out and tries to, like, take Pharaoh's hand.
She takes her hand and she's like, don't worry. We're going to be doing shots at the end of this. It's going to be fine. We got this.
I hope so. I hope so. And she kind of stumbles back over to her desk and opens the top drawer and then slides this very archaic looking key over towards you. It's like one of those big keys that's like a foot long or so, and then like with these thick brass teeth, you know, that should be opening like a pirate ship treasure. If you go down into the cellar levels, you will find a trapdoor that will lead you further into the catacombs. Stay safe.
Will do. I'll take the key. And I'll lead the way, because I know this place.
I follow behind.
Yeah, and Amalthea goes back to staring out the window.
Just walking towards where I know she described. I just kind of look back and I'm like, so, where are you guys from?
Oh, from under, far under a mountain, very, very far northwest of here.
Didn't know things that crawled out under mountains could be so cute, but you learned something new.
Well, all that living under a rock has done me some well then.
I'm from the southeast monastery down there. Just been roaming the globe now for some time with the Sisters of Sorrow. And have you been studying with Amalthea this whole time?
Yeah, I'm not really a bookish type, but, you know, I am kind of at the will of my mother. I live at home for now, don't tell anyone. But she kind of grew up here, so Healing magic it is.
Yes, I quite understand the pressures that family life puts on your career choice.
Mm-hmm. Gosh. But, you know, hey, now we get to go fight stuff, which is really exciting because I thought I was going crazy.
Oh, do you enjoy that as well?
Oh, yes. As many explosions as possible, if it were up to me.
Carl has, like, big, like, thumping hearts in their eyes, like 5 seconds away from it.
And as you're making your way down the hallway, kind of chatting, you get down to the first level. And then Farah, you recognize somebody coming towards you. So it's one of the sisters who works here. It's Sister Sybil, who's always been a little bit weird. And she's just
a little bit weird.
Just a little bit weird. She, like, is sort of floating down the hallway towards you. In her white robe that's just a little bit off kilter, and she's walking. She's like, "What are you about to do?"
"I'm just giving a tour, Sibs. It's all good."
"What did you just do?"
And she looks at you and blinks her, like, large sort of glassy green eyes. "They're waiting for you down there, all of them, and they're so angry."
Okay.
Good talk.
She looks out the window.
Well, you know, cool.
"You know, are you single? I think I know a great guy for you." His name's Vlad.
She's like,
"Vlad could never look again."
"Vlad, that's a nice name." And she looks at you and she, like, her eyes go wide, like she's just noticed you're standing there, Farah, and she's like, "Oh, I think I got lost." And she kind of pats you, and then promptly turns in the other direction and walks down a different hallway.
Oh, who?
From my interactions with her in the past, like, has she ever, like, said anything like that to me?
Not like that to you, but, Sybil believes that she can see the future. Everybody just sort of tolerates that behavior. So a lot of the people who live here may have, like, medical conditions or states of being that maybe they can't survive in the normal world. So Malthea collects these people and gives them a place to live.
Gotcha.
So she's always kind of, you know, sitting in windowsills saying weird things.
Don't mind her. She'll go for a nap. She'll be fine. I'm sure everything's cool. She thinks she can see the future. It's fine. People are a little kooky around here. Don't worry.
All right, then.
And with that, you don't run into anybody else as you make your way down towards the cellars. So the cellars here are in use. They keep a lot of their just extra storage overflow down here. But again, I mean, there's really only like 40 or so people who live here full time. So it's not like there's a ton of stuff going on there. So you've come down here every once in a while, but you do know that that trap door that is, like, forbidden, nobody go down there. It's got this thick padlock on it. And you lead the party towards that spot.
Sure. And anything we need to do before we go in? Any preparations that you guys tend to do? I don't know your guys' fighting style.
Well, we're not the most prepared fighters.
Oh, great. Let's go.
What kind of Johnny on the spot time?
I love it.
Yeah, especially with this one over here.
It's such, like, there's so much, like, romantic tension in this group of three people right now. What's going on?
And threesome. No.
And
that's
triangle.
The preparation.
Yeah. Let's just get this sexual tension out of the air, you know? We'll have nothing on our minds when we're fighting. Let's just bang it out.
One for the road. Yeah, no. Nothing comes to mind.
great.
Saya's not aware about your relationship status in terms of, like, openness or, you know, exclusivity with Gidget. So, like, every once in a while, she'll just, like, name drop Gidget and be like, oh, you know, every once in a while, maybe Carl here will say a little prayer or whatever to his girl Gidget and gives him a little boost or something. Oh, Gidget made that little hammer for him there. You see that? Oh, it's all sparky. She's great. She's such a handy worker, man.
She looks at Carl. She's like, wait, let's get this out of the way. Are you single?
I mean, no. I am with someone currently.
Shit. All right, well, I'll still let you go first, because regardless, I'm still going to check the menu, if you know what I'm saying. Go ahead.
You're going to fit right in.
Carl's face goes bright red, just like a tomato.
And now Saya's jaw is visibly dropped open. She's like, didn't expect that.
She looks there, she's like, did I say something wrong?
And he just, like,
no.
Meekly goes over and just, like takes, like, yeah, with the padlock and fiddles with it and just, oh, man.
Just, like, you hear her mumble, sweet sisters, it's just as good from behind.
I just, like, drop the key of the lock and I'm just, like, fumbling around on the ground.
I mean, Sage, as a point of fact, if you did want to take off the circlet at any point, you're fine. You're going through a dungeon. Like, you're pretty sure there won't be drow spying on you here.
Oh my god, hopefully. Yeah. She's holding that for the perfect moment, though. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. So eventually, you know, you gather yourself enough to open up this padlock, and it screeches as you turn that lock in the key. It's this something that is not used to being opened at all. And just you take this archaic lock off, and it's one of those, like, kind of storm cellar doors. So you open that up and you see that there is a set of steps descending into the darkness. Ooh.
Well, that was some wild shit, Nippa. Before diving back into this week's episode, I wanted to whisper some sweet mid-roll goodness into your ears and take a second to ask you all to please rate and review us on iTunes. We just finished another dice giveaway to thank you guys for supporting us through these reviews, and we really want to be able to do more to thank you, and we can really only do that through your help. And I mean, we love our sponsors and everything that they do for us and for our community, but you guys are really the ones that keep us alive, and we want so badly to keep telling stories for you all. So yeah, any stars you can give us, you know, maybe 4 or 5, preferably 5, and a few comments would be great, you know. Also, if you don't already know, I, Nassim, have been lucky enough to be gaming with some really cool and really talented people over on the Scraticus Twitch channel. If you don't know, you can find him on Scraticus Academy on Twitter, and Twitch is just twitch.tv/Scraticus. I have been gaming with them every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. at PST, Pacific Standard Time. And I will also be joining them again for their new season that's going to be starting the second week of April in a Call of Cthulhu campaign. I'm so excited. It's going to be starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday nights, the second week of April, on the Scraticus Twitch channel. So please come hang out with us and, you know, enjoy a spooky good time and say hey. And finally, I want to tell you guys about today's sponsor, which is our good friends at Elderwood Academy. They are some incredibly talented artisans who craft amazing gaming products, including dice towers, dice trays, dice boxes, deck boxes, dice, and more. And all these products are crafted to look like spell books, scroll cases, codexes, and other awesome fantasy gear that we love. And I want to let you guys know about some of their dice, because they have different size dice, specifically their mini Phoenix dice. And I go crazy for mini things. I think they're so goddamn cute. And these aren't like, you know, the tiny, impossible to read things. These are just like, you know, a hair smaller than the average size. So they're still easy to play with. They're actually perfect for traveling. And they also have the perfect size little hex boxes for them as well. Because, you know, they have the regular size and they have a mini one for these. You can, like, complete a whole set and take it with you whenever you're traveling, going to cons or something like that. And they have some very cool designs on those mini dice. So I highly recommend you check them out. You can find this and so many other awesome things on their website at elderwoodacademy.com/don't split. And, yeah, they make some pretty great gifts. So anyone celebrating the Persian New Year, get your Persian friend some awesome dice or, you know, deck boxes from elderwoodacademy.com/don't split. Okay, now I'm done yapping in your ear holes. Let's get back to the adventure.
Tieflings have dark vision, yeah?
Yep, 60 feet.
Saye.
I bring out my little orb of light.
All right, drift globe. Okay, so you light up your drift globe. And what is the marching order here?
I go first.
I'm more of a hold the bat kind of girl myself, so.
I'll be in the middle.
So you all walk down these set of steps. Immediately, the smell of earth and just salt water hits your nose, because you're actually, so you feel like you're beginning to go subterranean on this island, right? So then all around you, presumably, there is the ocean.
Yeah.
So as you go down further and further, it gets very, very cold in this stone stairway, and you just walk down for a really long time, and then it bottoms out into this long tunnel, and you're gradually sloping down as you walk here, until this is interrupted by a set of double doors that you see here. And these doors might have been nicely carved wood at some point, but now you can definitely smell mold growing here. And the doors have kind of warped with all the moisture in the air, so they've been here for God knows how long. And you see, yeah, the tarnished fixings on this door.
I check to see if it's locked.
Okay, it is not. Though it kind of sticks, mm-hmm. like, as since the wood has buckled, so you have to force it open.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do so,
uh-oh,
you see, roll for initiative. no. As you do so, the door swings open with this creaking sound once again, and you see that there is a very, very large room in front of you. You can't see all the way towards the back of this room, but you can tell that there is furniture in here. Most of it looks like it's been toppled over or broken. So you see the remnants of, like, desks, bookshelves, some rotting piles of material. Maybe they were plants, tapestries. It's just hard to tell. And again, that smell of moisture and mildew just fills this entire room here.
Yeah, I definitely want to, like, very kind of carefully navigate through and sort of always, like, make, like basically go half speed and, like, check behind all the things, like, feel around to make sure there isn't anything else weird crawling around in here, too.
Yeah, go ahead and make me a perception check.
There we go. Ooh, not bad. 21.
Okay, so as you move out further into this room, and it's very clear, this is probably some kind of, like, larger waiting room or something, definitely a reception
hall. Oh yeah, and I definitely want to, like, run, like, basically go along the wall so I can try and find, like, find, map out the edges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you can tell that around the edges of this room, there is a door on the left side, there is a door on the right side, but the thing that really catches your attention is in the back, so the south east. Okay, I guess I'm looking at this. So there'll be the northeast corner. There is a carved set of stairs, like a spiral staircase that descends further down below. And as you move towards that area, you hear a piano note. Boom! Just bangs out across this room. And it's like, shatters the silence completely. As you see that there is indeed, well, a remains of a piano in one corner, in the northwest corner of this room.
I call out to everyone and I stop immediately in my tracks. That was some weird shit. Both of you need to come over here. I just heard a piano note. And by the looks of that piano, I do not believe it could come from there.
Should we investigate the piano, though? There could be something inside it making a noise.
Yeah, and I go and I, like, use my sword to, like, kind of, like, try and poke through the, like, remnants of it.
Saye and Farah, where are you standing in the room?
At this point, I'm probably moved up behind Carl.
Mm-hmm. So you all are...
next to her, yeah.
Yeah, so you're all clustered, like, around this piano. And this thing is rotted and falling apart, so it's just caved in on both sides. Yeah. So you can see, like, the ivory keys kind of haphazardly stacked in some places. Mm-hmm. And the strings for the piano have definitely rotted away. There's absolutely no way a pristine note like that could have come from this piano.
Yeah, so I definitely started to rip through the pieces a little bit.
Saye, it's at this point that you feel something cold brush against your elbow.
Ooh, I slowly turn around.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing there.
Okay. I think there are some spirits with us in this room of some kind. I don't know what this place used to be before Mafia came here, but we're not alone.
Oh, joy.
Saya fully believes in ghosts, so... mm-hmm.
And then at this point, you hear the bang sound of a door that gets thrown open on that western side of the room. So like it almost gets ripped off of its hinges as this door slams into the stone wall.
Is there anything in the door frame?
Nope.
Huh? Sorry. Remember when we were in the Fey Wilds and what did that fellow, Randy, used to be Brandy, what was that he said about focusing on a path? And I feel like this might be a similar situation.
And I'll say, Farah, as this is happening and, like, your attention is drawn immediately to the sound on the far side of the room, you catch this glint of light on one of the other walls, and you see that there is this large mirror that's hanging haphazardly on one side, and you see the face of a woman reflected back at you that's sort of in this misty blue shape. And her mouth is agape in a scream. And then it's gone. Mm-hmm.
So, Saya gets calm, takes a breath. To anyone here in this room with us, please know we don't want to scare you. We don't want to hurt you. We are here for another purpose. We are looking for someone else. We don't want to bother you at all or disturb your peace.
Farah taps on Saya's shoulder and she goes, I think that screaming lady in that mirror over there already looks pretty disturbed.
Oh my god.
Saya, go ahead and give me a persuasion check.
Persuasion is a 14.
Okay. So you say that out to this room. And then there's this moment of silence where you just hear, like, the creak of that door now that's swinging off of its hinge. And then you begin to see this mist start to coalesce sort of in the center of the room. And you see that it forms into the shape of a ball and then begins to shift until you see that there is a woman standing there in front of you. She's probably maybe in her 20s or so, a human woman. She's got this stacked bun on top of her hair that's got pencils that have been jabbed into it. And you see she's holding a book. And she says, I'm sorry, do you have an appointment?
No appointment. We're here to meet someone. We're here to look for someone.
I'm sorry, Dr. Scarborough is very busy. If you don't have an appointment, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
I have an appointment. Absolutely.
What is your name? And she opens up her ghost book and starts flipping through pages.
She's like, oh, you know, it's, and she, it's Farah. But, you know, like, I have so many other names that I go by. If you just let me, like, see the book, I can point out, you know, I didn't make the appointment myself. I could point out, you know, what my friend would have, you know, sent the message for, so.
And she appears suddenly 5 feet closer to you, and she's just exactly the same, just very close to you now.
Oh, excellent. Just what I wanted.
Yes. Please point out your name in the book. And she turns it around to look at you. And as you see it, this book just seems to be, like, you see words at first, but then it's like they turn into ants, and the black is just crawling all over this page and smattered across the surface of this book that makes it absolutely impossible to read. And she's just looking at you expectantly.
Right. Ah, man. You know, that's my friend coming up with so many nicknames. You know, maybe it's a new one. Who's to say? I've got quite the reputation. It comes with many silly names.
Well, I suppose if you would like to wait in the exam room there, we may have an opening.
Excellent. I would love to wait. Waiting's my favorite. Should we go wait, guys?
I'm not sure I feel comfortable waiting in an exam room.
Well, we can wait here, and if you want, you can let us know when the doctor's in.
All right. I'll call you when it's your turn.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Please, have a seat. And she gestures at all the ruined furniture around the room.
Thank you so much. So hospitable. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. And then she drifts kind of towards the center of the room and then disappears.
What? Should we?
No.
Are we waiting or are we going to keep moving?
I don't know if I want to be here when a doctor comes back.
I certainly do not.
So maybe we keep going.
When she's like, you may wait in the exam room, she indicated that door on the western side of the room that had flown off the handle.
Are there any other doors in the room?
There are. So there's a door on the east side of that wall, and then there are the stairs, the spooky staircase that leads down. And now that you're looking at it, it's like an iron rot staircase, and you can see that all of these twisted, like, black pieces make flowers. They look like roses and thorns. Is the motif.
Very cool. Spooky stairs.
Based on what Malthea said, I imagine we go down further.
I would agree with that.
But does anyone want to look at that other room?
Oh, I'm terrified.
Okay, yeah. Maybe a quick peek.
Okay.
Can't resist.
All right. So, did you want to look at the exam room or the other door that hasn't been opened?
The other one. I do not want to go in the exam room.
Okay. Who's opening the door?
I do.
I think Carl is.
So this is the same thing with this door. The wood has rotted and sticks in the frame, so you really have to give it some gusto as you pull this open. And you see before you there's a smaller room that's in similar sort of disarray. So it looks like maybe this was an office at some point, is your best guess. You can see that there are bookshelves that used to line the whole wall of this room, and something that looks like a globe that has an axe that's sticking in it, like in the middle of this desk here. And then you see this woman again. She is standing at the bookshelves and she's reaching up and trying to put books back in a shelf that is no longer there.
Oh my God.
Close the door.
Yeah. Back out slowly.
And you do?
Down?
Saya is like already on the first step of the staircase, like waiting. Like, all right, let's fucking keep going, please.
It's my appointment. I don't want to be here.
I dare say, does anyone else have a case of the heebie-jeebies?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I think this is a good time to bring this up since we're about to go down to the second level. For the purposes of this dungeon, we're going to do something a little bit different here. We're going to start off with a pool of sanity points.
Oh my god.
So you all start with 5 sanity points.
And that's not that much!
And as we go through this, sometimes I will ask you to make a sanity roll. If you fail the roll, you lose a point. If you lose all of your points, something happens to you, and it's not great.
Cool.
You will go temporarily mad. Can you guys tell I've been playing a lot of Call of Cthulhu lately? So, you have these 5 sanity points.
I'm gonna hold on to those, thanks.
Is it like a base wisdom roll, or?
So, I'm gonna, for the purposes of this roll, whatever you think your character would do realistically to face something horrible. So, if you think if you're gonna approach this with like a keen mind, intelligence, like you're gonna rationalize whatever you see, or if you're pulling on like wisdom or strength of personality to get you through this, I will let you guys dictate whatever you need to for these roles.
Very cool. Ooh, I think Kara's choice would, like, how she would cope with something stressful like this would be through her constitution, and they're just like that urge and that persistence and that like physical drive just to carry on.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you find that strength inside yourself. Definitely. How do you, Saye, how do you think you would handle?
I'd say through wisdom of past experiences, having been through a lot of traumatic things and coming out the other end, having learned and grown and stuff. And probably once she starts getting a little spooked, she's going to take out her mask from her father and put it on for, like, her security blanket.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
We've been through some of the worst shit. We can get through this.
Yeah, and how would Farah handle this?
I'd say probably intelligence, because she did a lot of reading in her childhood that she did not want to do, but finally she's like, wow, this is applying to life.
Yeah, I understand how things work. This is okay. Science away the fear. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm sure it won't come up. Anyway.
I'm scared.
Yeah, never.
We're heading down the staircase. Marching order, please. Same as before? Oh, you're first now. Okay.
Yeah, she was already like, open it.
Can we go? Let's go, please. I'm ready to go.
Okay. All right. And as you all step onto the staircase, you hear this horrible creaking sound. And there's that one moment where, like, not sure if it's going to be able to handle the weight of all of you on this ancient staircase. But it does hold. And you begin to spiral down into the darkness. And you get down about maybe 10, 15 feet or so until you see that another hallway opens up and travels along like this long distance there. And you see that there is something written on the walls here. And what catches your attention is that it glistens. And you see these red streaks along the walls. What languages do you all speak?
Common, Dwarven. And I believe that is it. Yeah, Common and Dwarvish.
So Kara does not recognize this language.
Common, Primordial, Draconic, and Aquan.
Okay.
I've got Celestial, Common, Infernal, and Sylvan.
Ah, so Farah, you recognize this as Celestial on the walls, and it appears to be written in blood.
Cool. Sure.
It says, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned," written over and over and over and over again along the length of this hallway.
Aww.
What does it say?
You know, okay, so it says, "Forgive me, Father, I have sinned," like, over and over and over again. I feel like we're on the right track to this fallen celestial. We're doing good, guys.
Saya feels kind of bad for this angel. Like, she can't help it. Her soft spot. She's like, you know, maybe he did something wrong, but to be cast out and to go crazy because of it. It's just way too tragic and probably undeserving, but she has to soldier on. But her heart goes out to this angel, and, like, she takes a moment to, like, I don't know. She essentially empathizes with the angel for a moment. Mm-hmm.
And as you do, the silence creeps in, and you just get the hair raises on the back of your neck, and you just got that sense that for a minute, maybe you weren't alone.
Ooh.
Oh, quickly, were there still more stairs going down?
No, so the stairs stop here.
Okay. Okay, cool.
So this long hallway in front of you seems to be the only way to progress forward.
Can I make a quick perception check? Oh, well, 14.
Okay. So I will say, you do notice that the blood pretty fresh. It's still wet. So it's probably been, this has been done in the last day or so. The air here is very moisture heavy, so maybe a little bit longer. As you're looking down, just on the very edges of your vision at this long hallway, you do see that there are doors that start to line either side of this hallway, and you notice that they're, like, thick iron doors, but you can just barely see that out of your range there. And that's kind of all you pick up on.
Looks like there's a door if we keep trudging forward.
Well then, let's make our way.
Mm-hmm. Saya, are you still going first?
Probably.
Okay. She's gonna, like, reach out and touch your elbow and cast guidance on you. Just in case you have to make any checks.
Oh, does that just give me advantage on...
It gives you, you get to add a d4 to whatever you roll.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah, thank you.
Such good spell! And you
oh
begin...
Oh my god, we have a cleric with us! Yay! This is so amazing!
Kind of.
Close enough. They have no healing, ever. Katie, you're saving them.
You don't understand. We have no buffs whatsoever.
So you begin to walk down this hallway, and you see now that the hallway continues on, but on either side of the hallway now there are three doors on each side immediately across from each other, and they again are these thick iron doors, and you see that there are barred slats in each of these. So maybe these are cell doors, would be your best guess. So you will have to walk past these sets of doors before continuing further on.
Look inside the cells.
Kara, you're looking inside one of the cells?
Yeah, I'll look at the one, the first one to the right.
Okay. And as you do so, you kind of peek up. So it's got, like, those very traditional, like the little barred slats, like, around the eye level. So you can look inside. And this one is open. And as you go and you look inside and you peer around in the darkness, there's movement immediately on the other side of this door, and you see a flash of green eyes staring immediately back at you as the shadows outline something there. I need you to go ahead and make me a sanity roll.
Oh, there's something in this one.
Oh, shit, y'all.
18.
Okay. You keep your sanity this day. As you look, and you're just totally surprised by this fast, lightning-fast movement of this thing on the other side of the door. And now that you've kind of, like, had that shock, and you get your bearings there, you're looking inside, and this thing, you can't seem to read it. It's like the shadows are coalescing around this thing, and it's just standing there now in the center of this room. But you see these green eyes, and the shadows seem to flicker around this thing. And you all hear voices, not just coming from this thing, but from each of the cells in turn. And it says, "We are the lost. We are angry. Get out." And that's where we're going to be ending for today.
Oh, Gerd.
Oh, I am so excited for my spooky dungeon.
The sister was right. I'm so horrified. Oh,
I know. This is going to be fun.
I am really, really, really excited for this. I had a lot of fun putting this together. So thank you again, Katie, for joining us. I hope you had a fun first episode.
I did.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see where this goes. But anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in. I see that we got a ton of people watching us tonight, a lot of follows and subscribes. Thank you everybody so much. You're killing it. Lately, Venture Maidens has just been exploding. I mean, we hit our 1K a month Patreon goal, which was huge. We're getting tons of new followers and listeners, and like people are being so kind and supportive, and you all are amazing and just rocking your damn world. So we are so excited. Yes, you're also great. Okay, all right, but that's all for now. I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Konowich.
I have been your spooped out human monk, Sayonor, played by Nassim.
And I'm Sage, and I will continue to be your brave barbarian, Kara Brynhilda.
And I'm Katie, and I will be playing Farah, your tiefling sorcerer, who is just happy to be following behind Carl.
Yep. Anyway, well, that's all for now, folks. I hope we have more romantic tension for you in the episodes to come in our insane dungeon. But until next time,
Venture away!
Venture away, everybody. Stop it.
Hey travelers, it's narrator Paul. You ever want to learn the secrets of elven magic? Blast your enemies with battle magic? Build cunning mechanical servants with clockwork magic? The Deep Magic series from Kobold Press has all of this and more for 5th edition. Time magic, rune magic, illumination magic, nearly 20 PDFs with new ones coming out all the time. In this series, you'll find new magic schools, sorceress origins, warlock patrons, feats, spells, magic items, and more. I picked up 4 of these last month, Clockwork, Illumination, Shadow Magic, and Void Magic, and they're all stupendous. Pick up the Deep Magic series for 5th edition at www.koboldpress.com.